Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side on a lovely Sunday, January 5th. This is the weekly weather for the week of January 6th, 2014. I don't know how it got to be January already, but it is. And what we do here on the weekly weather is we talk about the energy and how you can work with it, what it feels like, how to get it to kind of feel connected, related, and how to work with it positively as opposed to negatively. Also, this is the last night of being able to register with the discount for the palmistry workshop next weekend on the 11th and the 12th. I'm going to be teaching a palmistry workshop on how to read hands and look at a hand and understand who the person is from their hand. It's a lovely corollary to astrology, and as most of the time we do not carry our charts with us, or we can't get the charts of people, we can look at their hands because their hands have their charts in them. So you'll learn how to read it. And the weekend is next weekend, but tonight's the last night for the discounted price. So that will be $200 expiring this evening. So shameless self-promotion. And also the next weekend on the 19th, Sunday the 19th, I'm going to be doing an ESAR seminar on planets as people. It's much less expensive. It's only $25, and it's an hour and a half, and it will be bright and early in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, which is a little early for me, too. And what we'll do is we'll cover planets as people. So if you're interested in that, that's also available on my website, astroann.com. And then on Friday the 10th, I'm speaking at the Long Island chapter of NCGR at Bonnie Sims' home, so feel free to come there. I'm going to be talking there about planetary returns. Nothing like getting January off to a fast start. So with that, without further ado, on to the show. So feel free to sign up for palmistry or for the webinar. Palmistry is an in-person class in New York, and it is hotel week, so the hotels are only $100 a night. Not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them. And the ESAR webinar is an online. You sit at your desk with your cup of coffee, and you learn about planets as people and how whether they're in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And then the other one is at Bonnie Sims' house, and that's just the evening NCGR meeting. So forward we go. So the week ahead. This week is, you know, we're off to a running start. We're all back to work. We had that lovely new moon last week, which was very profound for coming up with a new vision of where you're headed and what you're going. Hopefully you all took advantage of it and sat down and did a little thought about what your direction is, because it was very powerful with the Mercury-Pluto. this week we have the moon in the primary signs. So the moon is going to go into air. It's going to be void in the morning, tomorrow morning, because we're all going to go back to work and tell everybody all about our life and our week and our summer and our winter vacation. And then at 2:45 tomorrow afternoon, the moon goes into Aries, which is much more primal, focused, pointy, go for it, go for it. Closing aspect, Tuesday afternoon, all day, Monday afternoon, all day Tuesday. Closing aspect Wednesday, midday, is a square to Mercury. So that's a lot about communication and information and taking action. And, of course, the moon in Aries squaring Mercury in Capricorn gives us a lot of information, emotional communications. But it's not a bad square. We don't, you know, some planets are easier to part with in a square. But moon in Aries also wants to express itself. Moon's going to be void all day on the afternoon of Wednesday, and it enters Taurus at 9:30 at night, 9:24 at night on Wednesday night. It's in Taurus on Thursday, Taurus on Friday, and it goes void with a trine to Mercury on bright and early Saturday morning. So that makes the Taurus moon trining Mercury, allowing you to get what you want, to ask for what you're looking for, to kind of give you information. And then next weekend, moon is in Gemini on the 11th and the 12th with a closing aspect of a trine to Mars. So moon trine Mars in air, in Libra, gives a lot of information. That's why I picked it as a weekend for the palmistry workshop. But also moon in Gemini gives us a lot of information that we can use. And so next weekend has excellent aspects for connections, communications, learning things, taking courses, and figuring things out. So the first part of the week's a little bit fast, overdoing. Then Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, very productive, good solid days for getting things done emotionally. And then Saturday and Sunday are very popular, happy days, connecting, relationships, a lot of communication energy on the 11th and the 12th. So forward we go. So watch those moons. They're in personal signs. They're in the me, myself, and I sign, Aries. They're in the how, what is my stuff about, Taurus. And they're in the what have I learned, how do I think, what am I understanding of who I am, Gemini. So nice, good beginning for the new year to have the moons in these signs. And hopefully last week on Wednesday, or if you hadn't do it yet, you can still do it today, moons in Pisces, with a nice closing aspect tonight of a sextile to Venus. If you did not take advantage of that Taurus, of that Capricorn new moon, take some time this evening to sit down and think about what you want your year ahead to look like, what you want the next 2.5 years to look like, because the moon is just starting to form a crescent in the sky, getting a little energy, and the aspects tonight are lovely for expanding our direction and where we're going. So the week ahead has a couple of features. Most important is that we have Eris, the goddess of discord, stationing. Eris stations on the 9th, which is Thursday. Generally, the few days before, the 5 days before, which would be yesterday, today, and the next 3 days, Eris is super active, and we feel her energetically when she stops. And what she does the 5 days before and the 5 days after. Now, remember, she's a new girl. She's the new girl in town. She's been out there for a long time, but she only got discovered in 2006. And Mike Brown wrote a book on how I killed Pluto and why he had it coming, or why it had it coming. I'm going to make Pluto a boy, not to confuse his sexuality with a girl or an it, but why it had it coming, he says. But I like why he had it coming. Eris is the one that killed Pluto off. And she is out there. She's got a big orbit. She's in the sign of Aries, and she stations this week, and she's stopping at 21 and change, I think it is. Let me look. She's stopping at 2150. So she's parking, and she's moving direct because she's been retrograde for a while. And when she stations to go direct, what we all find is a lot of our energy around our discord becomes more direct. And our job with Eris is always to look at the envy underneath her, to look at what she's provoking, to look at how she stimulates us, to look at what she calls us to be. So what happens with her is a lot of her energy is tied to making you want something or making you compare yourself to someone else. And they have something you don't have, and you want it. And the only way you can get it is to kill them or to just be really angry that they have it. So we're going to watch a lot of the work this week come up around envy and discord. And don't be surprised if you find somebody pops a little envy in your direction. And you have to kind of go, okay, that's envy. Got it. Let me figure out how I want to work with it. And it can be worked with productively. The whole premise with envy is to name it, to own it, to look at it and go, yeah, that's a little envy right there. And the minute it's named, it loses its power. It loses its ability to incite. And you then can turn the energy and move it forward. Now, Eris is Mars's sister, right? So she has a lot of power. And when she's, you know, when she motivates you to go for something because someone else has something and you kind of want that, it's, you know, it's nice. It's like, yeah, I really want that. That looks interesting to me. And so, you know, this weekend the movie Wolf of Wall Street opened, which certainly had a whole lot of envy and avarice and greed in it. And so Eris invites us to look at where we're a little envious, or to perhaps notice in our neighbor or our friend or our family member, certainly in your house that has 21 Aries in it, where envy and greed can kick up. So kind of pay attention to that space. The other planet that's stationing this week is Pallas Athena. Now, Pallas Athena is stationing to go retrograde, and she's stationing on Monday. So what she's going to do is she's going to say, let's reorganize our patterns. Let's reorganize how we do things. She's in the sign of Virgo, so it's let's reorganize our paper. Now, I happen to know in my personal situation, I have Jupiter and Uranus in the sixth, so I have piles of paper everywhere, and I swear to God, they friggin' breed. And new piles. And so when Pallas Athena in Virgo stations, she's going to be asking each of us to get organized, to get structured, to get our health. Of course, Virgo is our health. Great week for a juice cleanse. Great week for reorganizing your files, reorganizing your papers, planning out your year, kind of coming up with the big picture theme with Virgo. And as she goes retrograde for a while, she encourages us to kind of come up with a new approach to things and to maybe change the way we've been doing things, because Virgo is our habits and our routines. And when Pallas, the planet of patterns and habits and routines, changes signs, she does it. So my sister has me on this exercise program, right? So I'm supposed to walk a half a mile or half an hour. It's like a half a mile. I'm supposed to walk a half an hour every week, every day. Well, that is a Freudian slip. Once a week, Mayor. No, so I agreed. I committed to this. And, of course, you know, now we have to do it, right? And it's changing my patterns from being a sloth to walking, right? And getting my little butt out the door and doing the exercise thing. Not like a lot, just walking a half an hour. And her comment to me was, well, if you do it every day for a whole year, you know, you'll lose blah, 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 blah pounds. And I'm like, okay. You know, that without are there any other changes in behavior. So I'm like, all right, that's interesting. I can change that habit. So then, of course, it requires me to do it. So today I've worked for a while. I got up this morning around 10:30, started reading clients at 11. It's 6:45. Have I walked my half an hour today? No. It's cold out. It's rainy out. It's, you know, I'm going to, but, Pallas Stationing says to me, Ann, you have to change your habits. So that's the retrograde. And it's understanding that we are going to want to retreat a little, but to really achieve things, we have to change our habits. And as she stations, she's inviting us to change. She's inviting us to see a new way to work in our habits and to do them in a different energy. So that's her journey this week. And I would encourage all of you to look at the habits you want to have change. Remember, Venus is retrograde this month. She's retrograde through the end of the month. So a lot of us are running into old loved ones or reevaluating our money or reevaluating our way of earning income or looking at how we, you know, what we desire and why we desire it and where it comes from. So the Venus retrograde has a very strong story around asking us to look at what's of value to us and come up with a new way of understanding our value. So we want to watch this and kind of say, okay, I'm ready for the value to take place on a new level. I'm ready for this to take to shift. So this week, Venus, while we're on her, she runs from 23 cap back to 20 cap. And her job is to work with Eris. She's going to actually square Eris on the day that she's stationing. And she's also going to square Vesta. Vesta is a 21 Libra. So Eris and Vesta are kind of across the chart from each other, which can be house envy or body envy or home and hearth envy. So Venus squaring them is going to say to you, well, what do you envy? What do you want? Where is the discord in your life around how you've connected to what you've created in your life, what you've created in your home and hearth? Later in the week, on the 11th, Venus sextiles Saturn. Remember, she's in cap, so she sextiles Saturn. Now, she sextiled him going forward. Now she's sextiling him going backwards, and she's going to sextile him a third time. Venus sextile Saturn is an opening sextile, meaning she's saying to you, well, back in November when Venus and Saturn met, they made a plan, and now they're moving forward, and now Venus is talking to Saturn, and she's saying, well, I'm kind of thinking maybe we should change the plan. Saturn's going to hold firm. He's going to go, no, changing the plan. Just go do it. And she's going to want to negotiate something different. So allow her to come up with a new way of approaching it, you know. So, you know, my approach might be I'm going to walk up and down my hall for half an hour rather than, you know, going out in the cold and the snow and the boots in the middle of the friggin' night. But I'm going to do the half an hour. And Venus sextile Saturn encourages us to figure out a way to do it, a way to do the work, Saturn, that feeds what we need. Now, Venus is going to go backwards as she sextiles Saturn. She's also going to come to join with Mercury, and she joins with Mercury on the 7th, which is on Tuesday. So Venus joining with Mercury, they are great buddies, and they're going to have a plan. They're going to come up with a way to do things on Tuesday that you maybe hadn't thought of. And what you want to do is say yes to the plan that shows up on Tuesday, because it's a good idea. is an idea you're going to go, yeah, you know, that is a really good idea. Mercury is moving forward in Cap. He's very precise. He's very concise. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and he's direct and straightforward. He's moving away from his combustion with the sun, which means he's now starting to carry the message of the sun forward. Venus, of course, is going back to the sun, and she disappears from the evening sky on the 5th and goes into the underworld. That's, I guess, tonight. So it's your last night to see her, and she disappears for a while. And she'll be visible in the morning sky. You have to get up bright and early on the 17th to see her rise before the sun. Now, as Venus disappears from an evening star, which she does this week, and becomes a morning star, we have what's called the Venus star point. And there's an excellent astrologer out in Santa Fe named Ariel Gutman who came to New York last year. We hosted a workshop for her here on the Venus star point. And when Venus and the star meet, they echo back 8 years ago. Okay, so think back to what was going on for you in 2006 when Venus and the Sun met at the same point. It's an five-pointed pentacle scar that Venus and the Sun form in the course of their journey over 8 years. So Venus now echoes and starts a new eight-year cycle at the degree that she meets up with the Sun, which is in a couple of weeks. We're going to have that. But we're going to let me just look and make sure it's in a couple of weeks as I say that. Nope, I guess it's this week. The Venus star point is this week. I take that back on the 11th. As I said that, I thought, no, it's sooner than that, Anne. I don't know how it got to be the 11th of January already. Okay, so the Venus star point takes place on the 11th, on Saturday, the 11th, which is a lot about the vision, the idea, the belief, the understanding, and, of course, the palmistry workshop where you're going to learn how to read hands if you come. It's got a lot of energy around the connection to love and the connection to desire and the direction that we're going to head in and what the next steps are and how to integrate those points. So Venus and the Sun connecting in Capricorn is a lot about working with our desire nature and working with our energy as a human and on Earth and connecting to that divine spark of what our creative being is. And then as Venus goes from being an evening star where she is the lover energy, she is the partner and the relationship energy, and she emerges as an evening star on the 17th, and it emerges as a morning star on the 17th, the Aztecs and the Mayans, or one of them, I don't remember which one, used to look at Venus in the morning star as a war starrier. Because she was in fighting mode. She rode before the sun, and she was bathed in the sun's fire. And so you have to get up bright and early in the morning before the sun rises to see her. But she also has a whole different energy because she's much more aggressive and much more assertive and much more, okay, this is what I want. But as she joins this week and forms the conjunction with the sun on the 11th, she kind of initializes a new eight-year cycle around your Capricorn house, whatever 15 degrees of Capricorn, 16 degrees of Capricorn is in your chart. She's connecting on that point and creating a whole new life cycle. Actually, I take that back, not 16, 22 cap is where she's catching up with Saturn, 21, 22. So think about what you have at 21, 22 Capricorn, and that's where the new star cycle starts. So it's an important initiation time. Whenever we have one of these babies happen, we kind of start a whole new chapter. Our Sun is going this week from 16 cap to 21. So he's going to join with Venus. He's also going to sextile Saturn. And he's also going to square Eris. So he's a busy guy. And a lot of times when the Sun is this busy, especially on the 11th and the 12th, we have a lot of energy around figuring out what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. So our job with the Sun in Capricorn, of course, Capricorn is a winter sun, answers to Saturn, encourages us to put down the boundaries, the frameworks, what we're trying to accomplish in our roots and our direction in our life. So our week ahead with Cappy Sun is to say, okay, this is where we're going, and then when we get to the weekend, it's super busy. So the 11th especially has a lot of energy around creation. Mercury this week is going from 20 Capricorn to 0 Aquarius. Yes, Mercury's changing signs. Woohoo! He's entering Aquarius, his favorite sign, on the 11th at 4:30 in the afternoon. So he is all about understanding and visualizing, and he's really, really smart when he's in Aquarius. When he's in Capricorn, he's really practical, and he's very frank, and this is the way it is, and this is the solidness, and this is the ground of it, and this is the routine and the ritual, and the there's a right way and a wrong way, right? Capricorn, Mercury. When he goes into Aquarius, he becomes much more broad-visioned. He's able to see the big picture. He's also able to detach a little from the emotional involvement of what all is going on. Now, he is going to go retrograde in Aquarius down the road a piece. When he gets to 18, he enters his shadow, which is on the 22nd of January. But when he enters Aquarius, one of the things he does is he starts to fly, and we find that we're much smarter. We're much more communicative. We're much more able to connect and relate. It's not going to feel like every step has to be done step by step, inch by inch. We kind of fly when Mercury's in Aquarius. We all become a little bit smarter for that 20-some-odd days, and in this case, longer than 20 days because he stations and retrogrades in Aquarius. But it gives us a visionary opportunity for us to each see the world from another person's point of view. Because Aquarius is the humanitarian sign. And when Mercury goes into Aquarius, we all become a little more of a humanitarian. And that's going to happen on the 11th. We're all going to see a little more of the big picture. Before Mercury goes into Aquarius, excuse me, he sextiles Saturn tomorrow. And it's a lot about figuring out how to communicate to your authorities. And he joins with Venus on the 7th, which is a lot about, okay, this is the direction, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. And then, of course, Venus and the Sun join on the 11th. So think of the Sun, Venus, and Mercury. They're all kind of hanging out together. And they were, you know, on the new moon that we had last week. But they're also this week kind of chatting with each other, right? And part of the journey of them as they talk to each other is to kind of get us connected on a deeper level to the personal planets. And, of course, the personal planets, Mercury and Venus, as well as Mars, but he gets to travel wide. He gets to ride off on his horse. But Mercury and Venus are all about how we communicate what we want. Mercury can never be more than 28 degrees from the Sun. So he can only be in the sign of the Sun or the sign before or after. Venus can be 46 degrees from the Sun. So she can be in the five signs around where the Sun is. So she can be in Capricorn, Aquarius, or Pisces, or she can be in Sagittarius or Scorpio. Right now, though, they're all in Capricorn. So the heavens are in unison. They all are saying the same thing, and they're all thinking the same thing, and they all want the same thing. So that's good, because it gives a consistency of vision. So your job this week is to harness that consistency of vision before Mercury dashes off into Aquarius on Saturday. So I want you really focusing on the vision you have for the year and to understand practically what that looks like. Now, in the middle of this whole mess, Mars is going to come along to square these planets. So what he's doing is he's stimulating the get up and go. Now remember, Mars is going forward until March 1st. Then he's going to go retrograde from March 1st to May 19th. Then he's going to go direct from May 19th to July 20th, leaving Libra on July 25th. So Mars is in Libra for a very long time. And Mars in Libra is how we want to partner, how we want to relate to others, how we want to work with others. It's the we instead of the me that I've been writing about in my column. So this week, Mars is going to square the planets. He is first going to square Jupiter on, first the Moon and he are going to have a little argument on Tuesday, and then he's going to square Jupiter on Wednesday, and then he is going to catch up and square the other guys next week when he gets to them. But we're understanding that part of what we're doing here is we're trying to give ourselves permission to say, okay, this is what I want to do. Last week when Mars squared the Sun on the 2nd, we had a little understanding of what we really wanted and what was important to us. And now as he moves forward, he's going to be zipping along and stimulating everybody that's out there to say, okay, how do we get there? Where do we go? And he's going to catch Venus in a couple of weeks. I don't know where it is. I should have looked this up. But when he and Venus meet for a little argument in the heavens, then they're going to meet a third time, right? So that we're having these renegotiations or these revisionings of what you want. So kind of look at that. And Mercury this week, flying along, is going to be busy and out in the world. Mars is only going between 15 and 16 Libra, and he has the square to Jupiter on the 8th, which is the square of overdoing. And he joins up with Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 6th, which is a lot about maybe being a little bit annoyed right into doing something in the morning. So allowing that to happen and feeling the annoyance and saying, yeah, it's kind of a little annoying. But there's a healing opportunity later in the week around the 12th when you have a vision of how things are going to go. And then when we get to the 8th, we're also going to have Neptune join with Juno. Now, Neptune and Juno are a partnership. Juno's partnership, Neptune is the dream. So I really want you watching who you meet on the 7th, 8th, and 9th. You might meet the dream of the partner. Okay, because the two of them are going to catch up to each other. Juno's going to catch up to Neptune. And, of course, she is the principle of relationship and partnership. And, you know, she moves a little faster than Neptune. He's a slow guy. But she's catching up to him, and she's going to say, so, like, what's your dream, big guy? And then she's going to go forward, and she's going to catch up to the other planets and sextile all of them. So our job is to say, okay, what are we looking for in relationships? What's our we? What's our me? So the Capricorn planets are the practical me, and the Mars and Libra planets are the we. So so it's a conference this week between the me and the we, and kind of being clear, you know. And with Mercury in Capricorn, he really wants to be clear. And then at the end of the week, having made all these decisions, he's going off into Aquarius and going off to think great thoughts and to get all this stuff coordinated, right? Because remember, whenever we want to do anything, we first have to have the idea. And so this is the week when we get the idea. Now, I will say to you, Venus is semi-square Juno on the 12th, okay? And much as we might like say this is what we really want in partnership, there's a lot of our beliefs about what's possible for ourselves is determined by what we were raised with as children and our natal condition of Venus, you know, what she's doing. So this week, she's going to have a semi-square to Juno, and she's going to say to you, well, you know, you're not so good at partnering there with that thing. You know, you always have this fantasy of how partnership's going to show up. And I would invite you to look at your own definition of what partnership is. And a lot of times we work with other people's definitions of things. We're not working with our own. And a lot of times if we just change the words or we change the way we say it to ourselves or we shift our idea of what's possible, and a minor change in words can shift things enormously and can make you, as well as the other people, see it in a whole new way. I want you listening to yourself talk this week as Mercury goes forward to work with, as he goes forward to sextile Saturn, and listen to what you say to yourself. And then as he goes forward and he goes into Aquarius, because Mercury is in the Virgo. Sorry, the British lady just spoke. Mercury's in the Virgo decant of Capricorn, which is all about changing the words. Not necessarily getting rid of the words, but changing the words so that the intent is communicated in a slightly different way. And if we do that, we get a different vision. Okay, so I'm going to have a link on my website this week in the column, because I ran into this week and thought, wow, this is brilliant. And it's about the same message, but changing the way it's said and how it has an enormous impact. So I want you listening this week to your own self-talk to yourself about what's possible for you in your life, in your relationships, in your work, in your play. Listen to what you say to yourself. Listen to the words you say and how you say them. right? And then after you do that, kind of think about, do they need to change? Do I need to come up with a better way to say it to myself or a different way to say it to myself? So I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about her health matter. And she said, well, you know, she's in the process of finishing up a relationship. So she said, well, I told them that we could sell the house when the health matter healed itself. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't go tying health to the health matter. Tie it to we'll sell the house when I'm damn well ready to sell the house. So because otherwise you're going to stay sick. Listen to your negative or your self-talk that ties you to things you don't need, and then allow that to change you, okay? Take care. This is Ann Ortley. Sign up for the Palmistry Weekend. Bye.